The sermon text is for the Ascension, Luke 24, 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." When he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the gospel reading out of Luke 24 as the text today. Think of the children of Israel as they were standing before the promised land, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, 4 centuries of slavery in Egypt, and here they stood before a land that was described as a land that flowed with milk and honey. And what it meant was a place that was so fertile and so ideally suited to a livelihood for them, and it was now to be their possession. And I can imagine that it would be hard to believe at first. When Jesus told them the news that he was there, the Bible says they disbelieved because of joy. You can imagine that. Suppose you, as you drive to work every day, you go down the same road, and there's this fantastic house that you drive by with a perfect lawn and maybe a pond that beside it, and maybe it's exactly the kind of house you'd like to live in, and so you admire it every time you drive by. Maybe you even slow down your car so you can look at it more closely just to admire how beautiful it is. And suppose one day that house is just given to you. Wouldn't you doubt? Wouldn't you be amazed? Would you find it hard to believe that somebody just gave you that house? Of course, the promised land wasn't a housing addition that had just been built and all the homes were new and empty. It belonged to somebody else. So for them to possess the land, there had to be a war. Somebody had to die for them to take possession of the promised land. Would it change your view of your house if you found out that somebody had to die for you to take it? I mean, isn't that a price too high to pay for you to have this new house? And even if it was okay to pay the price, would you be worth somebody dying so you could have that gift? I see why they had unbelief for joy. How could it be that Jesus had done all this for them? I mean, slowly it was dawning on them to be the people of God, the chosen ones, was all they ever wanted to be. But now they were realizing that there was a cost to that, that there was a high price to that. And it was higher than they could have imagined. Somebody had to die. The Bible says Jesus opened their mind to understand the scripture. So it must have been all coming together in their minds. God had come to visit them. And God had walked with them. And God had talked with them. When they had embraced Jesus, they were embracing God. When they had taken his hand, they were touching the hand of God. And now they knew. Now it came clear to them, God died for them. The cost of what they now receive was staggering. Much of the last 3 years had seemed like a game to them. They got to go anywhere they wanted to go, and they were invincible. They could not argue anybody. They could stand anywhere in safety if they were with Jesus, because he knew all the answers. Jesus confronted illness, and he healed the illness. Jesus confronted death, and he removed death from the scene. When they were with Jesus, they were having the time of their life, but then he died, and it all came crashing down because without Jesus, there was no way to play the game. They couldn't even go out into the city. The Bible says they were in a locked room for fear. They were hiding in the very city where they'd been invincible and where they had been bold. They were hiding in fear. And now he stood there, and they understood the cost. God had to die. And now he wanted them to understand more than that. He wanted them to understand the possession. He wanted them to take possession of the treasure that cost his blood. Finally, that is what this comes down to. Jesus is offering you a gift of peace. It was never free. The cost was always beyond what we could pay. He wants us to have this gift. It requires that we receive it. There's no payment we can make. Can you imagine standing outside that home that you've been driving by every day to work and having someone flag you down and say, I'm giving you this home. It's worth $2 million. I'm going to give it to you. You reach in your billfold and say, I've got $3. They're liable to take the deed away from you again. You can't pay $3 for a $2 million home. You cannot pay for something that cost the blood of Jesus. He paid for it. I guess we knew all this stuff. It's my belief maybe that you and I know this too well. I think it loses some of its shine. It doesn't sound new anymore. Worse, I think it might not even seem valuable anymore. What good is a gift that is so hard to see on some days? You know, those days when your whole life is not going well, or when things are not working out the way they should, and when you don't feel like you have that peace, that's when we need to remember the power of peace. Those disciples were hiding for fear of the Jews, the Bible says, and Jesus came to remind them they had become possessors of a treasure of peace. We need to know that it's a durable possession. We need to remember the power. Can you leave this room today? Well, you may be worrying about some trouble. Well, you may be fearful about the future. Well, you may be hiding for a moment from something you have to do. Can you leave here, go out into the world and still possess this peace? Can you stand in the middle of a tragic loss and still possess this peace? Can you have your life turned inside out and still possess this peace? It was cute in a way. He showed them his hands and his feet, and he ate a piece of fish, and he opened their minds to understand the promises of the Bible, and he gently led them into understanding the gift of Easter. And he said a weird phrase. He said, while I was with you. I mean, he's with them now, isn't he? What he needed them to know was that whole life was over because Easter finished off the job. It was past the time when he had walked with them. It was past when the payment was waiting to be paid. The payment has now been made. The time was over forever, and Easter is a done deal. You and I need to remember it stays a done deal today, that the price stays paid. If you came here today and you are carrying a load of regret and of shame, then you need to know that he made the payment for that regret and that shame, and that it is intended to be no part of your life. You're to walk away from shame. You're to walk away from guilt, place it at the altar, and understand that's why he came. He paid for it. He gently offers you possession of the gift. He intends that you grieve no more. He intends that you have joy. It seems to me that what we want to remember is that there's a power in this gift he gives us that carries us along in life. If the burdens of your existence have made you tired, if you've gotten weighed down under the responsibilities that you carry, and you've forgotten the value of the peace, then I want you to go back to that room for a moment. And I want you to stand with those first disciples for just a moment and understand how they felt when they had unbelief for joy. There is a house in a neighborhood that is just perfect for you. And it has a yard that's so much what you are wanting in life. And it's in a neighborhood that has house after house that is just perfect. And that house has your name on it. That's what Jesus came to give you. He says as he leaves his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's what he gives you possession of. You will stand forever in that place. And there may be a moment when you disbelieve for joy, but then you will understand and you will walk into the embrace of that existence and you will live forever in the joy that is heaven. And it will be a place that you call home. Its cost will be high, but your name is written on the gate and it belongs to you because the cost was paid. That's what Jesus came to do for you. He told him, don't go out into the world right now. I want you to wait. And we had our prayer group met together, and Marty got to talking about why would they have to wait for Pentecost? What did the Spirit give them? They had already been had their minds open to understand the Scripture. So they knew that. What was it the Spirit gave them on Pentecost? I think what He gave them was a dose of courage. I think what He gave them was a boldness to go out into the world, not just to receive the truth, not just to understand the message, but a kind of boldness to go out into the world. And so they went out and they were never afraid again. I believe the Spirit has given you that treasure too. In your baptism, as you receive faith in Jesus Christ, He gave you the treasure of forgiveness. The Bible says no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He gave you that. I believe He gave you boldness too. And He gave you courage. You may just have forgotten it. There are places where He has need for the quiet people. And there are places where He has need for the noisy people. And both of those require a courage on your part. God places you there because you are the courageous. And you are the bold. And you are the believers. And you are the possessors of the treasure. And the peace that exists in heaven has been extended to you in the darkest places and the broken places of this world. There are more houses in heaven that have been built, and there are names on the doorways of people who have been chosen to live there, and they do not know about the house, and they do not know about the way, and they don't understand that the way has been paid. People need to know about Easter. It seems to me that why we are here is that we are part of a notification process. I like Tommy's children's lesson. He always seems to nail the exact point. Our enthusiasm for being witnesses comes from a message we are excited about, a news that we have a joy to tell. If your journey takes you at odd places in peculiar situations, I absolutely believe because in that place there is a person who awaits notification, who awaits the news that they have a door in heaven with their name on it, and God takes you in your journey to that place. Look around in those places and embrace the gift of peace and know that you are led by God to be in that place because the chosen of this world live in unexpected places. And they live in hard situations, and Jesus sends you there. All He promises in our text is that when you go there, in that dark place, you go in peace. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.